Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan Pompey! Dan Pompey with Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Dan, of course, with The Athletic and 670 The Score itself. And, of course, his name is written in the Hall of Fame. Morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
I'm doing fantastic, guys. Excited about this week, and I think it's going to be a really fun few days with the NFL draft.
How will the first pick go? This seems to be the key to the draft. Everyone's sort of assuming now that Kyler Murray is the first guy off the board. You talk to people, they think Quinnen Williams is the best player because they're worried about Nick Bosa's injuries, but he's obviously a pass rusher, so that's a big, high-quality position. Would it surprise you at this point if Murray wasn't the first pick?
Oh, I guess it would, you know, but I think you do have to take into account that there is a bust factor with Murray. I think there's also a chance that, you know, he's Patrick Mahomes or close to it. Whereas with Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa, there is no miss factor. Those guys, you know, barring some kind of catastrophic injury or something that, you know, cannot be foreseen, they're going to be stars in the NFL probably for a very long period of time. Bosa is going to be a double-digit sack guy, I think, for, you know, maybe a decade every year. Quinnen Williams is going to be a great force, not only on the field, but in the locker room, the kind of guy that you build a franchise around. So, you know, if you're picking second or third and you're looking at one of those guys, you have to be really happy because you might be getting a game changer and a franchise changer. But, you know, with Murray, if you need a quarterback, how can you pass him by if you really believe that he can do some of the things that Mahomes did, that Baker Mayfield did? And you look at how the game is changing and the things that he brings that are special in that regard, and you just say you really can't afford to pass him up.
You can't. And I think, Dan, as I said yesterday, I think it's a bigger gamble for the Cardinals at this point not to take Kyler Murray than to take him, because all of the things you said are true and the risks are obvious. But they've already crossed that bridge philosophically. They did it when they hired a coach who was fired by his college team. When you hire Cliff Kingsbury, you pretty much have already said, we are rolling the dice in this franchise, and we've got to be in risk-taking mode. And I think taking Kyler Murray would be more consistent with that philosophy than taking a defensive lineman that everyone expects you to take.
Yeah, I agree, David. I mean, it's because of the path they're down already, right? I mean, we could go back and dissect this thing and say they shouldn't be on this path because they could have done something else. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, Bruce Arians retires. They hire Steve Wilks. They stay with him for 1 year, you know, and then they go out on a limb and hire Cliff Kingsbury. Well, you know, maybe they should have stuck with Steve Wilks. Or if they didn't, you know, if they weren't sure about him, maybe they shouldn't have hired him. You know, they drafted a quarterback last year in Josh Rosen. And now they're going back. This is what happens to bad franchises. They don't stay on a path. They go down one lane and then they decide they want another lane. Something else looks better, and that's how they end up in years of futility. And you know, we'll see if Cliff Kingsbury and perhaps Kyler Murray can dig them out of the hole that they've created for the last couple of years. But you know, they're in a bad place because of some bad decisions.
On Saturday, get exclusive access to your Chicago Bears at the Miller Lite Bears Draft Party at Soldier Field. The Score will broadcast live with real-time draft analysis from Hub Arkish, our guy Dan Pompey, some guy named David Haw, along with Bears radio broadcast team of Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer, and listen to the guys meet Bears players, tour historic Soldier Field, much, much more. Tickets start at $30. Visit ChicagoBears.com. And Dan, I guess as I start thinking about the Bears draft, obviously you see it in the context of what the division will do. And you look at the number of players that will be in the division before the Bears even get a chance to pick one at 87. And you think to yourself, wow, you know, these other teams are getting better too. But the Bears have the one advantage that no one else has, which is continuity with their offense. Everybody else is making some changes and making some moves on offense.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, you know, the Bears have already gotten something from their draft picks that they don't have now, right? They used those draft picks last year on players who made contributions, big contributions, in 2018, and they hope that they're going to continue to make them in 2019. So I think you have to step back and look at it at that perspective, but that doesn't mean that they can't find someone who could help them moving forward, you know, in this draft, because certainly Ryan Pace has done well in some of these middle to late round picks in the past, and I think there's a chance that could happen again this year. It's going to be interesting to see how they approach this, you know, if they look for specific positions or they kind of look for the best available. Usually when you're in the later rounds, you know, you go for need because most players are kind of in a clump anyway. So you have to look at what positions they might identify as need positions and then focus on them.
Dan, yesterday, Robbie Gould, the story was that he will not sign the franchise tag in San Francisco. He wants to be traded. You spent some time with Robbie in January. We all know Robbie's desire to play in Chicago, to be near his family. And the Bears, so far, we have not had any indication that they would be welcome to that kind of a reunion. Where do you think this story is headed?
Well, clearly, you know, Robbie, I think from the very start, has been trying to force himself out of San Francisco. And I think, you know, this is probably something that goes back even before this off season. You know, he's just not very happy there, it seems. And in a perfect world, he'd be back in Chicago. And it's interesting that the Bears have not made a real move at the kicker position. You know, they've got another move left in them, and maybe it's a big move. You know, the thing is, though, at this point, you have to wonder, you know, is Gold going to get a contract that makes him the highest paid kicker in the game or one of the highest paid kickers in the game? And then do you have to give up significant trade compensation to get him? And then you start wondering, well, is any kicker worth that? But you also have to look at where the Bears have been over the last 3 years at the kicking position where, you know, they've struggled more than any team in the league. And you also have to look at the potential that the 2019 team has. You know, you couldn't live with yourself if you were Ryan Pace and, you know, you went into the season with Chris Blewett or some such kicker and, you know, the guy did the same thing that the kicker last year did right in the playoffs. You just couldn't live with yourself.
God,
so
that would be horrible.
I really think they have to do everything they can do to make sure that they have taken as few risks, as few chances at the kicker position as possible. And, you know, if that means paying a premium price, maybe that's something that they have to seriously consider. It's going to be interesting to see how the 49ers view this demand and if they believe that they're better off with letting him go or trying to trade him. I did talk to John Lynch a little about this a couple months ago, and, you know, he didn't seem to be of that mindset at the time. You know, I think he was pretty adamant about keeping Robbie then, and he thought something could be done. But things change. You know, it's not the same scenario now as it was in February or March.
Dan, thanks a ton. We appreciate it. We'll be listening all weekend.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay, guys. Look forward to talking this weekend.
See you Saturday.
Right, that is Dan Pompey. He is a man whose name is written in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, it is. And he's right about the Bears. You have a situation where they don't want to be they don't want to regret not moving on Robbie Gould. They don't want to regret not addressing the kicker situation.
Listen, you don't want to be caught out at a spot, any spot. And unfortunately, as we evaluate Ryan Pace, the fact of the matter is they've been caught out with, you know, missing a position a lot of years of his reign.
You feel pretty good about the 52 spots on the roster. It's the 53rd spot.
And it's the one that bit you in the rear end the last time.
Yep.
It's Mullion Hall on the score.
With anything, with Rich, there's just so many variables and so many scenarios because there's so much space before we pick. So there's a bigger pool of players. So you're playing out every one of these scenarios. Man, what if this player fell, you know, or, you know, there's just a bigger pool of players we're talking about. So a lot of scenarios. So that's probably the challenge that exists with that.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. And our buddy Luke Kanellis sat in for you on Monday, David, and he was waving around a $100 bill. He was assuring anyone who would listen and anxious to wager with anyone who would wage that Ryan Pace is going to move up. And you listen to Ryan Pace there, and he's talking about you don't know who's going to fall, and you don't know, you know, he's going to have an itchy trigger finger.
Yeah, he will. And
it's going to be hard for him to watch this draft go on without trying to jump in.
Luke can wave around that restaurant money, but I think he's going to lose it if he wants to get too aggressive.
I think it was the nightclub money he was raising.
I think that Ryan Pace, so he underscored something yesterday when somebody asked him about, you know, is it conceivable to think you might move into the first round? He said they don't have the ammunition. He's right. I really don't even know the wisdom of moving into the second round. And I think that, you know, unless they identify a guy that they just have to have, maybe that would motivate them. I don't know. They don't have a lot of draft capital to play with. They also have to look at this from a standpoint of the long view matters. And you don't necessarily have to get something that is missing from this year's roster at the expense of next year's roster. So don't overreact to a guy that you feel like you have to have. Stay at 87. You might find a guy who is capable of being a week one starter. Doesn't have to be a running back. I really believe that, Molly. He didn't say anything yesterday one way or another that's going to tip his hand. But I don't know the Bears have to draft a running back at 87 because they got rid of Jordan Howard. I think they also have needs at safety long-term because Ha Ha Clinton Dix might be here for only 1 year.
Yeah.
If you're drafting his replacement?
Of course.
You're going to get a safety that if you draft a safety at 87, he's going to contribute this year immediately. So there are a lot of options that you have. Dan Shonka mentioned linebacker. That would surprise me, I guess. Offensive lineman might surprise me given what they have invested, but nothing else would surprise me because you have some flexibility. And if you're a Bears fan, be thankful that you do have such flexibility. You're not looking at this draft as a make-or-break proposition.
Yeah, it's not a make-or-break proposition. In fact, I'm not even sure they're going to land a player out of the group that will have a major influence upon them. If you really break it down and think it through that way, I got to tell you, though, the old line is that the general manager's job, the coach's job is to win in the right now, and the general manager's job is to save the franchise from the coach.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have a win. Everyone's like, this is their window. You got to win now. You got to go. I actually understand what the Chiefs did with that trade,
mm-hmm.
because they bring in Clark, who is a great pass rusher. They don't have that. Pass rushers, you saw, it's almost like they're following the Bears' plan. They gave him a $100 million contract once they brought him in.
Right.
And now,
because they could.
Well,
because they haven't paid the rookie quarterback
because
yet.
Because they have, Mahomes hasn't gotten paid yet.
Yeah. And so Frank Clark goes from the Seahawks to the Chiefs, and we were talking about this during the break. My mind went immediately to two yes. places when I heard about this trade, being in Chicago. Number one, he went to the Chiefs, a guy with a domestic history, the history of domestic violence. He went to the Chiefs?
I don't know.
What are they doing? I mean, if I'm in Kansas City, I'm wondering the same thing. So that was the first thing, just given his, from a non-football perspective, I'm like, he's going to the Chiefs? Is he going to room with Tyreek Hill on the road? Come on. So that was number one. Number two is, okay, the Seahawks just did what? They got rid of a pretty good pass rusher, a big piece of their defense, because they just paid their quarterback. They just paid Russell Wilson in a way that every franchise realizes they're going to have to eventually pay their franchise quarterback. The Chiefs will be there one day. The Bears will be there one day if things go according to plan. Who's the player on the Bears roster more likely to go because they pay Mitch Trubisky? Because you never thought a couple years ago maybe they'd get rid of Frank Clark, and yet here they are getting rid of Frank Clark. Who's the Bear most likely to be traded because of Mitch Trubisky's contract?
It's interesting. So, I mean, they're going to pick up the option year on Leonard Floyd, but they're going to have to make a decision moving forward on how to pay Leonard Floyd if they – this is a huge year for him. But I think, David, what you're driving at is very interesting, because I think that as we start talking about where this team is at, and it's Ryan Pace's job to consider all these things. We sit here and chat about it. That he has to have – the salary cap is a living, breathing organ of a franchise, and you've got to constantly be willing to make hard decisions and put yourself in a position that you don't have to make drastic changes. But when you do, you have to make them, and you better be right about the guys that you're picking up and the guys you're letting go and all the rest of it. So, Mitch, it's a big year for Mitch. It's a big year for all the first round
absolutely
draft picks. Anybody on a rookie contract.
Which brings the conversation back to this year's draft. If you feel like this is the window, you know, this is the window is wide open, and you want to get complementary pieces to your roster. You don't necessarily have to overreact to that, because that move was already made. When you got Khalil Mack, that was part of this year's draft conversation. The 2019 draft was, you know, with the first pick of the 2019 NFL draft, they select Khalil Mack. You know, that's why Ryan Pace said they're going to play highlights in the draft room when their position comes up on the draft board and the Raiders are on the clock, because they got their guy and the urgency is there. But all of this is pointed to, you have to win next year. Mitch has got to have a season that you expect him to have for everything to be according to plan.
All right, it is Biggs time next. We'll bring him in, find out what he heard from Ryan Pace. But first, let's get a scoreboard update with Joe.
The Grand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. He is the football man from the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station, and our dear friend, Big Z.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Really enjoying the draft buildup, Brad, because I think there is a slight bit of suspense about how it's going to fall. And really, I'm very curious to see what Ryan Pace does. I saw a headline this morning that said, and you don't often see these kind of headlines, Ryan Pace doesn't see Bears trading into first round. Well, I mean, is that a shock to anybody?
Oh, wow.
Freaking news. Story at 11. Give me a break.
Boy, yeah, I don't see him trading in around one. As we've talked about, I would be surprised if he traded in around two. Yeah, based on how he's been able to draft in the middle rounds, he's got to feel relatively confident that he can get a good football player for them at 87 in the third round without having to move up. And hey, if they're on the clock and there's a decent sized group of players that they like and they don't have to move down too far and someone wants to pay the price, yep, maybe they could slide down a little bit. Who knows? You've got to have people talk about that all the time. The reality is you got to have a buyer to be able to make a move down. But I think they can do just fine for themselves at 87 and then turn the page toward the Saturday picks and get some more players that can come in and create competition for them at a couple positions.
Brad, you weigh in on the Robbie Gould story this morning in the Tribune, and I thought it was very interesting. You put both sides out there. And the one thing that I think stood out to me was this sentence. What can't be overlooked is that performance could not have been the driving factor in the Bears' original decision to cut Gould and replace him with Connor Barth. That was in 2015. That's the part of the story you don't hear as often as you hear about Robbie wanting to return to Chicago. How big of a factor do you think it is?
Well, I think it's significant. Listen, Robbie Gould in 2015, his final season with the Bears, and Ryan Pace's first with the Bears, made 33 of 39 field goals. And so that's just a tick under 85%, which at that time was consistent with his career average on field goals. It wasn't his best season by any stretch, but was a fine season and fell in line with what he had done. The offseason came. The Bears paid him a $500,000 roster bonus that was part of his contract. Preseason came along. He did have two missed extra points in the preseason finale against the Cleveland Browns, but that's not the kind of performance that gets your franchise's all-time leading scorer released. So I don't think there's any way you could shape that decision, which was on the Sunday before the start of the regular season, as one that was solely based on performance. And there's three factors that have made this move look particularly bad for the Bears. Number one, since releasing Robbie Gould, the Bears are 31st in the National Football League in field goal percentage. Robbie basically hasn't missed in a season with the Giants and two in San Francisco. And then Bears opponents, guys, also don't miss. Bears opponents are it's nearly 94% on field goals in that same time span. So you watch it, and I just came across that statistic because, you know, after a season and a half of it at least, after a game, I'm like, boy, when's the last time an opponent's even missed a field goal against them? It seems like they all go in, and you look it up, and that just kind of adds to their woes, I guess, in that regard. But Robbie reportedly telling the 49ers that he would like out of San Francisco, and so we'll have to see what direction this story takes.
You know, it's interesting when you start thinking about power rankings of teams and talent of rosters and who has the most talent in all these NFL teams. And, you know, I don't know where you're at with the NFC North, but, you know, the Bears obviously have five picks, the first coming at 87. They got a pretty good roster. They need a lot of depth. But the Packers have 10 picks. The Vikings have 8. I think the Lions have 9. The Packers will have 4 players taken before the Bears draft, the Vikings 3 and the Lions 2. How much better can these teams get, and have they gotten in the offseason versus what you've seen the Bears do?
Well, they could get better, but, you know, those Packers picks have got a hit.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't they've had some up-and-down drafts the last couple of years in Green Bay, I think.
Yeah.
So if they can hit on their picks – yeah, they could get significantly better. Some people have suggested they could grab a quarterback early in the draft, which is certainly how they got Aaron Rodgers, but that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me for a couple reasons. One, you've got a new head coach, and they've got enough roster issues where you need to get this guy some help with players that can get on the field right away and perform. And you need to build the thing back up around Aaron Rodgers. So adding a quarterback, while that might be great if you're thinking about 2021 or something in that regard, that's not going to help that franchise reload. That would be more of a rebuild, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens there. The Lions have certainly gotten better on defense through the free agency period. And then Minnesota, who knows, guys, they might use about half those draft picks on offensive line.
Well, you know, this is the thing that's really interesting, because I think going into last year, teams like Minnesota and Jacksonville were considered among the most talented rosters in the league.
Ready to take off.
Yeah, and now look where they're at. I that's what worries you about the Bears. So much of it comes down to quarterback.
Right.
And certainly that was the case with both those franchises.
Yeah. I mean, Jacksonville looked like it was loaded everywhere but quarterback.
Right.
And then that didn't really pan out for them. Minnesota, they need to get a little bit better around Cousins. And I think Cousins, needs to play better as well. They had some injuries last year. There's no question about that. So that's going to be interesting. You know, is Mike Zimmer's message going to resonate in the locker room in Minnesota? We'll have to see. But they can certainly add a player or two to that offensive line that can help them out, and they can be a better football team by the time they get to training camp.
Brad, back to gold for a second. So if you're Ryan Pace and you're looking at this team and you're looking at your window and you're looking at this roster and what you don't have, and you don't have a kicker, and you know that there are issues with Robbie Gould and there might be some high maintenance concerns, do you get everybody in a room? Do you get Ted and George and whoever else you need to get in a room and you say, okay, we realize that there are personality concerns. We realize there might be a lot of things that come with Robbie Gould returning to Hallis Hall, but it's worth it because we were one kicker short of maybe going to the Super Bowl this year. We don't want that to happen again. We can't let that happen again. Let's make this happen. Is that realistic, and would you go that route?
I think certainly they'll have a discussion. They probably need to have a discussion about it. There's no question in my mind about that. You know, I don't know how many times a team looks at itself and says we're just a kicker away from going to the Super Bowl. I think the, you know, Super Bowl teams aren't, you don't stack them up based on their kicker or a couple of those other positions, okay? If you can avoid having one of the four or five worst kickers in the league, you're probably feeling pretty darn good about yourself if that's one of the equations for getting to the Super Bowl, if that makes sense. You know, you don't look at the four teams when they get to the AFC, NFC Championship week, and you say, well, hey, look at their kicker. They got one of the best in the league. I don't think you stack it up that way. But you need to have a discussion because they've got three guys with no NFL experience really, or almost none, and you need to be able to make a decision to make your football team better because it's a huge question.
And I'm with you on all that. And, you know, it's not as important, but it is important when you get there. And, boy, it's nice if New England has the best kicker in the league every year. But I'll tell you something. What's really weird to me is you got to give up something to get this guy, right? Mm-hmm. He's the property of another team.
How many times do you go out and trade for a kicker?
He wants to kick for a while. So you're going to have him as the highest paid kicker in the league on you got to give him a 3-year deal or something? I'm just saying, assets have to be distributed in a correct fashion. You just came away from giving a guy, how much money do you have invested in a kicker going into this thing because you had to get rid of a guy? I don't know that you can keep spending money on kickers.
He'd have to give them the hometown discount as well.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Cody Parkey, guys, well, I don't know what he's got planned for 2019. He can certainly budget on $3.5 million showing up in his bank account this year, courtesy of the Bears. Yeah. They are still paying him, even though he's a former employee.
It's not a bad deal.
I'm just saying. So you're going to spend $8 million on a kicker this year?
That's what you'd be looking at.
And you would regret not spending that if you are kept out of the playoffs or advancing in the playoffs because you missed a 38-yard field goal with 37 seconds to go.
No question about that. But, again, I go back to why'd they get in this position in the first place?
Right.
It wasn't because he was missing kicks. You know, he had couple poorly timed misses in that 2015 season, but you go to his body of work over the course of the entire year.
You're saying it's personal more than professional.
That's what it appears to me.
Yeah, that's an issue. That's a conversation you have to have then.
Right.
If that is getting in the way of the Bears being as good as they can be, that's a conversation you've got to have.
Right, but is the answer going to change? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the unanswerable question.
All right, Big Z.
Good stuff, Brad.
We'll be talking.
Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That's Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune. They're fine football, man.
Can't answer that question. Nobody can.
And we have a lot of texters. Robbie Gould, high maintenance? Listen, he was the union rep. He just he rubbed them the wrong way for whatever reason. And then once he got older and his kicking wasn't great, then they made a move. But it's a bad move. And they obviously have had a really hard time replacing him.
There were issues with Robbie Gould. He was a tremendous kicker. He's the all-time leading scorer in Bears history. There are things you can never, you know, take for granted. But
Robbie Gould,
there was always a but.
Didn't he get into it with the receiver? That was one of the
Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall got into it with everyone, but he didn't appreciate a kicker trying to put him in line. And Robbie had been there and had a sense of ownership of the locker room and the team. That they didn't,
and he was criticized, and I criticized him when he invoked the name of Virginia McCaskey when he was talking about, you know, players or fans don't come to watch Virginia McCaskey.
Right,
he received a lot of blowback from the organization after those comments. So it's not just okay, Robbie Gould. You know, you're getting a kicker. You're getting a lot more than that. And is it worth it? But you've got to have that discussion.
Well, I mean, again, if he's available to you, are you going to give up? You have no picks. You're going to give up a pick. What are you going to give up to get him freed and out of San Francisco? And then he's on a franchise tag.
What are you going to pay him?
What are you going to pay him? He's looking for like a 3-year deal. I mean, and you could say, well, if you paid Cody Parkey, you should pay Robbie Gould. But you did pay Cody Parkey. So now you're
So can you pay Robbie Gould?
These are all issues you got to ask yourself. Or can you not pay Robbie? Can you afford not to pay him? Let's put it that way, if he becomes available.
But, don't blow it with Blewett.
But, yeah. Jesus. All right. 312-644-6767 is the number. Smalley and Haw, the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.